cares another. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. Let's sing together number 243, and let's stand as the choir joins us. 243, Does Jesus Care?
Does Jesus care when my heart is pain?
As we kneel before You now, we believe Your promise to be faithful. We don't always understand what Your perfect will demands, but we've learned in Your presence.
Thank you, Donna. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to have a mini-series, if you will. And so this morning, we're going to look at warnings about spiritual warfare. Warnings about spiritual warfare. If the Lord is willing, tonight we're going to talk about the wearing of God's armor. The wearing of God's armor, that's tonight. So if you want to continue with the series, you'll have to come to church tonight. And then next Sunday we'll end with the weapons of our warfare. And so we're going to look at those three things from Ephesians chapter 6, just a little bit of a mini-series. And so pray with me as we look at these things and as God leads in this direction. So let me say, we're having a great time with the young people and the teens, and I'm enjoying that. I'm going to be honest with you. It is a young man's job, and it's wearing me out, but I'm enjoying it. And they want to go out every Fridays and Saturdays, and I'm telling you, I'm in bed on a Saturday night. Saturday night, I don't go anywhere normally. I try to get in bed a decent time, and Sunday's a big day for us. But last night we had a good time over at Garland Line Baptist Church in their gym, and we just had some fellowship with the kids there, and had a good time. This morning we had a great turnout. We didn't have a chair left in our Sunday school class, so praise the Lord for that. And Mrs. Took came in, she goes, "There's no chairs left." And normally when somebody says that, they're upset. And she said, "Praise the Lord." So that's a great thing, you know. And so we're praising the Lord for that. So if we spend some money this week, we might have to buy some chairs. So praise the Lord for that. But we're having a good time. And I see a lot of young people here that have been coming to our Wednesday nights. And so thank you for being here. And I appreciate you guys coming. That's a blessing to see you guys in church on Sunday. And we have some other ones that have been coming Wednesday nights. Would you pray that we'll see them in church on Sunday? And that we'll continue to minister to them, see some of them saved. We had a young person raise their hand last Sunday that they need to be saved. And so they're thinking about that. They haven't made a decision yet, to my knowledge anyway. And so it's been fun. I feel like I'm going back 20 years in my ministry, but it's been fun and we've enjoyed it. But I'll say this, 20 years ago I wasn't as tired as I am now. But we're having a good time. I was playing floor hockey with them of all things, and I fell down and they laughed at me, but that's okay. And Austin Judge, he's helping us a little bit, and he's been doing a great job, and I really appreciate Austin. And he got cut on the head last night, and I don't think he even knew he got cut. He got hit with a puck or a stick or something until I said, "Hey, you're bleeding," and he realized he was bleeding. And so his mom, she emailed me this morning. She says, "Can you tell me why Austin has a bandage on his head?" She says, he's so much like Rob, he says, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, it's probably because he forgot when he lost consciousness." So that didn't comfort her very much, but that's a guy thing. You know, you get cut, you don't talk to your mommy about it. I said, "Just go give him a kiss on the forehead, you'll be okay." So, but we're having a great time. But I say all that to say this, please pray for us and pray for God's direction, pray for our young people. We're excited to be around them. But they wear us out, so pray for us, and we would appreciate that so much. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, I need to announce something else because I can promise you I will forget. We are having a business meeting September the 29th, and so we have notices for you today about that with the agenda and all the rest. And so I need you to do this. If it's not possible for you to be here tonight, would you please stop by the welcome table on your way out and make sure you pick up yours, all right? Because it's just 2 weeks from now. We want you to get that notice, and so we're making every effort to get that to you today. So please stop by the welcome table. Mr. Judge and perhaps somebody else will be there handing those out. So please make sure you do that so you're informed of what's going on, and we're excited about what the Lord is burning us and giving us a vision for, all right? So please pick that up on your way out today. Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll look at verse 10 with me, this is probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. If I were to say to almost anybody in the room, where do we find talk about the armor of God? We know it's Ephesians 6. So the Bible says in verse 10, after Paul has addressed the church at Ephesus about many different things, he says this, "Finally, there's one more thing I need you to know. There's something you need to get. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, or may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray together. Father, we come to you today and we ask, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. And Father, of these three messages through Ephesians chapter 6, it is my estimation that this morning's is the most important. For if we don't get the warning, we're not going to wear the armor. And if we don't get the warning, we're not going to pick up our weapons. And so I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts the warning that Paul is communicating to us. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be anything that Al Fury might say, but that the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would communicate to us today through your word. And so, Lord, may your Spirit be evident among us and teach us today what you'd have us to know. Lord, I surrender to you. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If I may, before I start this morning, encourage you to do something. This morning, in our teen class, we've been watching little 3 and 4 minute videos every once in a while, not every week, but once in a while, that are usually kind of funny for kids, and yet they have a good spiritual principle. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we watched a contractor building a children's playground, and he fumbled about with everything, but come to find out that it was built on a foundation of sand. And of course, you know the illustration there and how it would sink into the ground and fall and all the rest. This morning, we watched a video, and if you are interested and you have internet access, I would encourage you to watch it. It's called God's Chisel. And it's about a young man that talks about being the workmanship of Christ at Ephesians chapter 2. But he says, when I look in the mirror, I don't see it. So he prayed and asked God for his help, and God appears with a hammer and a chisel and begins to teach how we are to submit to the will of God for our lives and how God can make us into Christ's image if we'll just surrender. I'm going to tell you, I don't know about the kids, but it had a profound effect on me and the conviction that I was under. And I know I saw tears in the eyes of many of our workers, and you could drop a pin in the class as it was being played. So I would encourage you, sometimes we're visual and what we see helps us. And if you'd like the link to that or like to see that, I'd be happy to give it to you, because I think it'll have a profound effect on our lives of how God really wants to make us into something special. We are created in His image, and God said it was good, but we have fallen in sin. But God says He wants to conform us to the image of His Son once again. And what a wonderful message. I'd encourage you, if you get a chance to watch it, please watch it. That's my advertisement for this morning, but I think it'll help you, and so that's why I suggest it. We're going to look at three messages in this passage, as I've already said. So this morning we're going to talk about the warnings about spiritual warfare. I think sometimes we get lulled to sleep a little bit. It seems like things are going well in our lives, and so we don't pray like we ought to. How many of you know that to be true? You don't have to raise your hand. But we know that when things are cruising along and things are going okay, and it just seems like we got the wind in our sails, it seems like maybe we're not praying like we ought to be praying. We're not as fervent. The tears don't come as often. But boy, when there's a problem, when you're sitting beside a hospital bed, boy, then we learn to pray, don't we? When we're concerned about the health of a child, then the tears come easy. When we have financial trouble, isn't it something that God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you? Gold is just pavement in heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and yet we worry and we fret. What I'm trying to suggest to you today is that when we get to the forefront of the battle, that's when we really learn how to pray. That's when we really learn that we need this spiritual armor. That's when we really need, we understand that we need to take up the sword and take up the fight. But unfortunately, it seems to wane at times of peace. I want to show you from Scripture today that the battle is real 100% of the time. Satan is not in this fight part-time. He's doing all that he can to distract us, to dissuade us, to have us depart from the faith. I'm reminded of what Paul said when he said, I have made all things to all men that I might win some. That's the anti-devil. Because the devil says, I have made all things to all men that I might destroy many. That's his battle cry. That's his shout. He already knows that he's condemned, and so he chooses to try to take as many as he can with him. You know, often when we fail and we fall, we say things like this, I've had a moment of weakness. Somebody might say, I let my guard down for a moment. And I would agree that those are likely very true statements. The problem is we can't afford to have moments of weakness, and we can't afford to let our guard down. Now, if this was a physical battle, if you were in Afghanistan today or in Iraq, I would have to guess the soldiers over there are very cautious of their surroundings, wouldn't you? How many men and women have died over there in the last 10 years since 9/11? We just had the anniversary of 9/11 this week, and I believe it's been 11 years now. How many men and women have died over there? How many soldiers have come home? When I lived in Hamilton, they had the Highway of Heroes coming down the Queen Elizabeth. Now, I remember I was driving one day and there was a procession coming across for a soldier in St. Catharines that had died. And he'd come from the Toronto airport and he had been driving around. Every bridge had maybe 1,000 people lined up along the highway. Canadian flags hanging down below. There was police and fire at every exit standing in salute as they honored the victim. You say, why did he die? Did he let his guard down? I doubt it. Did he have a moment of weakness? Not likely. I would suggest to you today that a soldier is very aware of his surroundings. Inevitably, a soldier on a physical battlefield faces risk even though they do not have moments of weakness and even though they do not let their guard down. They're constantly aware of their surroundings. Now, there may be times where out of foolishness they die. But I would think that the fear of the battle would keep them very aware. You know, God wants you to be aware of that spiritual battle today. He needs you to understand. There's too many Christians that are falling. There's too many Christians that are being cast away and taken out of the service of the King. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. Now, that's not to say they cannot be restored. There's not to say they cannot be forgiven. But listen, you can spend an entire life building your testimony and it only takes 1 minute to destroy it. One foolish action, one foolish thought. And so let us be careful today to be warned about the spiritual warfare that exists. The Bible says this first and foremost in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The first word of advice the Apostle Paul gives us is that we cannot do it in our own strength. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord. And in the power of what? His might. The fool says to himself, I can do all things through me. I have strength within myself. I can handle this problem. I can deal with this temptation. The child of God says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need to be reminded today before we ever hear about this battle, before we ever read the next verse about the nature of this spiritual warfare, that we are nothing in comparison to the power of our adversary. We are just created beings, flesh and blood, sinners, subject to the fall of Adam. And that goodness that God created within us is gone. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that sin entered the world by one man and death by sin. Romans 3 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, the Bible says. And yet God continues to call out unto us. And He says, be conformed to the image of my Son. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He tells us that we can be changed and made anew, that we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. God is constantly trying to renew us and strengthen us, but you cannot do it on your own. You must come to Jesus Christ. Paul understood, perhaps more than anybody, that all glory belongs to God. And that we can only be strong in the power of His might. Because I don't know about you, there's some battles that we can maybe fight on our own in a physical sense. There are some things that we can push and shove. If you were to have a tug of war, you might be bigger than the next guy. You might be able to pull him rather than he pull you. Last night I said I was playing floor hockey with the kids and Channing and I were kind of pushing back and forth, and I thought, oh boy, he's a big boy. But I still think I can beat him. I still think I can push him around and move him. But I realized after pushing him around and moving him, that wasn't the point because he left with the puck. So I might have won some little battles, but he won the war. And the problem is we're so busy trying to win the battles and show how strong that we are, we forget that there's a war. There's a bigger picture. And if we just let God fight the battles, we can win the war. But we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's going to call for some surrender. Can you imagine on a battlefield in Afghanistan today or in Iraq today? If the general were to get up and he were to say, all right, here's what I want you to do. We're going to have a battalion over here and you're going to flank to the left. And we're going to have a battalion going up there and we're going to have a battalion flank to the right. And we're going to surround them. We're going to fight from three sides and we're going to win this battle and push through this town. And what if every soldier looked at each other and said, you know what, I got a better idea. You know what, I'm a pretty good sharpshooter. I'm just going to go in there and start shooting things. And somebody else says, well, you know what, I'm going to do it my way. Another guy says, I'm going to do it my way. And they all decide to creep through the town in different directions and find themselves isolated from the others. You can't win battles when you use your own strength, when you think you know what is best. Problem is human pride and arrogancy. We often say, well, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I remember training our children, and we saw that when they were just very little. You ever sat down with your child and you went to put their shoes on? They're just 1 1/2 or 2. I can. I can. I can. You try to get their coat on. They get the button. They're going to do up the buttons. I can do. I can do. And their buttons and their coats all twisted like this when they're done. Oh, yeah, you look good. You did it. Yay. But isn't that the nature of a child? I can do it for myself, Dad. I can do this. Unfortunately, that's the nature of heavenly children, too. We say to our Father, we can do it all ourselves. Maybe you're trying to conquer that besetting sin. Well, I can do it. I've got enough willpower. Problem is, you don't need willpower, you need won't power. You need God's power. You need God to intervene and you need to pray and you need to seek His face. But so often we say, I can do this on my own. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need God's strength. I believe so much that we do so much more for God if we would just trust in His strength. Allow Him to work through us. Look at verse 11 with me. The Bible says, after we hear the warning, He tells us about the battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a battle that we're fighting. There's an adversary. The word devil there literally means adversary. Diablos, adversary in the Greek. And so he is against us. The Bible says in 2 Peter, he is seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion. And so we need to understand the nature of this battle. There are some key words I want you to notice in this passage. The Bible says, first of all, put on the whole armor. Put on all of it. Leave no vulnerabilities. I don't mean to insult anybody here today, but how many of you think the devil might be a little bit smarter than us? I've lived now for 41 years. And in 41 years, I've learned 41 years worth of stuff. How long has the devil been around? Quite some time. He knows what it takes to make a man sin. He knows. He knows you probably better than yourself. He's been observing your life. He's been like that roaring lion and he's seeking whom he may devour. So he's watching his prey and examining his prey and learning his prey. And he pounces when the moment's right. He sees those chinks in your armor. And he knows that besetting sin that we hear about so often in Hebrews. And he knows what it takes to get you. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. So often we think that we get by with just a little, get by with just a part. But listen, we need to make sure that we have bathed our lives in prayer, that we are standing where we are supposed to stand firmly upon the Word of God. When we let down our guard, when we have those moments of weakness, what we are in fact doing is laying aside a piece of armor. Allowing God to have, or allowing the devil to have his little playground. Some of you here tonight would remember the NHL before hockey helmets were introduced. How many of you remember that? Yeah? A few. Come on, I remember. You don't want to reveal your age, but you're older than me. I remember when I was a kid, hockey helmets were optional. There's still several players that didn't wear them. And I couldn't understand, to be honest with you, because They would wear shin guards and they would wear the hockey pants that were all padded and they would wear the chest protectors and the elbow protectors and everything else. They'd get all and they'd say they leave the most important part exposed. if you get hit with a hockey puck in your shin, it's going to hurt. You ever done that? I remember playing road hockey with my cousin, and that little orange hockey ball would get frozen solid, and he'd slap shot that thing and hit me in the shin, and I'd about cry. But I couldn't let him see me cry. But you'll live. You get hit in the head with the same thing, you might die. There was a little girl in Columbus, Ohio. The puck went over the glass and it hit her in the head. And she got up and walked out and she was waving to everybody. And I'm okay, I'm all right. She died 2 hours later from the hemorrhage in her brain. And yet for years they thought, let's cover the whole body, but let's leave the head exposed. There's so many people that come out with cracked skulls and brain damage and hemorrhages. Listen, don't have a moment of weakness. Put on the whole armor of God. By the way, the helmet in the Bible is described as the helmet of salvation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you are walking around totally unprotected. You are the devil's plaything. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when He washes you in His blood, the Bible says He seals us with His Holy Spirit of promise. Unto the day of redemption, He puts His mark upon you. He says, they are mine, and the devil can't have you anymore. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we think of the whole armor of God. I want you to notice not only is it the whole armor, it's the whole armor of God. It belongs to Him. And this isn't just some chintzy armor that you have. I laugh at the kids sometimes because they'll go into the hockey change room and they'll say, well, look at this. Everything I got is Bauer. And the other kid says, well, I got Easton and that's better. And the other kid says, well, I got Nike and that's better. And the other kid says, I got Under Armour and that's better. And they argue about their brand names. And they're all made in Taiwan. Have you ever seen the Taiwanese hockey team? No, me neither. I don't know why they're making hockey equipment, but they are. You know, these companies represent that they've got the best. And I'm thankful that they're improving. I'm thankful that they're trying to make better product and they're trying to put out, you know, I never realized that until I got boys playing hockey and I want them to be protected. I want to make sure they got the right helmet on and they got, you know, the right chest protection. So I'm glad that they're improving. But this isn't Nike or Easton or even our armor. This is God's armor. This is, if worn properly, it's perfect. Think about that. If we are in the Word and praying and doing those things we ought to be doing, if our heart is right with God and we're walking with God, it is a perfect armor. We don't have to worry. It's His armor. God has never made anything that has imperfections. And so we can trust in the armor. It is the whole armor of God. Look at the next word we see as we're just picking apart some words here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand. He said, what is stand? It is the opposite of falling. That's pretty profound, isn't it? It is the opposite of falling. It is rooted. It is grounded. It is not blown about by every wind of doctrine. It is like a tree planted by rivers of water. It is rooted. It is grounded. Boy, that's what we need. Let me encourage you today that the Bible says we are to be rooted in Him, in Jesus Christ. It ought to be the desire of every Christian's heart to be able to stand. And the way we stand is by putting on the armor of God and getting rooted and grounded in Him. I don't want to be pushed around. I don't want to be blown about. I don't want to be discouraged every time a pamphlet comes across my desk and says, hey, try this new method. Try this new way. Try this new Bible version. Try this new style of music. I want to be rooted in the things of God that we may be able to stand. Do you know that everything, or let me say, rephrase that, not everything that people put the name of God on is from God? Did you know that? We were in Africa, and when we were in Africa, I was noticing the signs over there on the different shops and different things. And the shops are sometimes nothing bigger than Nelson's ice fishing hut. You know, just a little shed, your garden shed, 8x6 or something. And they would sell stuff out of there. You wanted to get your hair cut, you went into this little wooden shed, and they'd cut your hair. But I noticed the signs, and the reason they did it, I guess, was because they wanted you to trust their business. So I took a picture of a couple of them. I thought they were interesting. One was called New Life in Christ Shoe Store. I thought, well, that was an interesting name. And then I saw the next one I was going on, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was The Gospel of Grace. I think that's what it was called. The Gospel of Grace Video Store. And they rented DVDs there. You could get a DVD or buy a DVD. And they had all these hanging on this wall, and they were all demon DVDs. I'm not lying. Demons from hell. Every one of them, they had these wicked pictures of demons all over. But this was the Gospel of Grace Video Store. Just because you put the name God on it or Christ doesn't mean it's godly. Don't be caught up in those things. Learn how to stand. He said, well, how do I know? Well, you take it and you lay it right beside God's Word. And you say, does it line up? Does it look right? Does it measure? That's how we know. So you need to get grounded. You need to get rooted. You need to have the entire armor of God that you might be able to stand. In the 1 Corinthians, Paul put it this way in chapter 15. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are to stand for Christ. That's why we need this warning today. What is it we're standing against? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Where have we heard that word wile before? Has anybody ever heard that before? You know what I think of? You're going to think me carnal. I think a wily coyote. And so do you, because I see you smiling. Well, remember what he was like? It was every trick he could think of. Well, that helped me understand. I'm going to be honest with you. It just helped me understand this, because wiles means subtle. And you know, the devil doesn't stand out at the end of our driveway on a Sunday morning with a sign that says, don't listen to the preacher. The Bible is wrong. He doesn't do that, does he? Instead, he subtly attacks us with doubts. Maybe there's some here today who say, well, you know what, I read that, but is that really what God means? And should we take the Word of God literally? Did God's Son really come forth from a virgin? Can we really believe that? And subtly he attacks our beliefs. The Bible says, I want you to have put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against that nonsense. That you can say, yes, that is the Word of God. God said it. You ever see that bumper sticker? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Listen, God said it. That settles it whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter what we think or what we believe. What matters is what God says. And that's what we stand on. We stand upon the holy Word of God that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. You say, well, preacher, you know what? Do we really need to take such a strong stand? Listen, it is for your benefit. Because you're not just standing on truth, you're standing against the wiles of the devil. That can only help you. It's not going to hurt you. So we stand against his wiles. Now I want you to move on to verse 12 with me. Actually, just give me one more second there. Let me get on my hobby horse for a minute. What are the wiles? Have you thought about that? What is the subtlety that Satan uses? I want to say today that he uses entertainment. Now, he's pretty subtle about that, isn't he? Christian entertainment even. Sliding things in there that maybe are not fit for consumption. Yeah, he just keeps feeding it to us and feeding it to us. What about our media today? Boy, that's social media. I'm telling you, that's a tool that can be used for good or bad. And it's used for bad a lot. Let's be careful about the media. I'm going to be honest. This and 50 cents won't even buy you a cup of coffee. This is just my opinion. And so I'm not preaching right now, okay? We don't preach our opinions. But let me just say, I don't like using a Bible off a cell phone. You say, why? Because when I stand before a group of young people, I don't want to stand there with my cell phone. I want to stand there with the Word of God. And you say, well, it's still the Bible, yes, and I'm thankful. If you're reading your Bible today, I'm thankful you're reading your Bible. Praise the Lord. But I wonder, are you causing somebody to stumble because they think you're texting in church? The Bible says, Paul said, I won't even eat meat if that causes somebody to stumble. Boy, that must be tough if he liked meat as much as I do. Can you imagine? I'm not going to eat any more meat because I don't want my brother to stumble. That's why I'm not going to use a cell phone to preach from. Because I don't want to cause somebody to stumble. What's the preacher doing texting in church? No way. You won't find that. So let's be careful. What about some other things in our lives? What about just the gradual decay in morality and standards? Do you know that I went on the website for my Bible college, where I graduated from almost 20 years ago. And I looked at that thing and I thought, just from the pictures, I said, I'd have been thrown out of school for doing that. I'd have been suspended for that. I'd have been fined for that. They would have, I mean, listen, they're using different Bible versions. They're dressing immodestly. I couldn't believe there was a picture of a Spirit Week thing where they had a girl riding on the back of a fella and they're smiling and waving at the camera. The Bible still says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He said, oh, they're just kids having fun. I'd have been kicked out of school for that, letting a girl ride on my back around campus. What are we teaching? But you see, over time, things decline. We need to be on guard. We need to put on the whole armor. Because you say, why? Listen, I never understood this argument. Oh, you need to get with the 21st century. If it was sin in the 15th century, it's sin in the 21st century. My Bible hasn't changed a bit. Oh, it's okay to legalize marijuana. It's been against the law for 1,000 years, and all of a sudden it's okay. The Bible says they shall call good evil and evil good. Oh, you're just old-fashioned. Praise the Lord. My Bible's old-fashioned. It's 2,000 years old-fashioned. Listen, just because you're younger and you think you know better doesn't make it any less sin. The Bible calls it sin. And we need not change. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? That's the wiles of the devil. He's subtle. He tries to creep in. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's get on to that next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I want to show you what that word wrestle means, if I can. Channing, would you come up here for a minute? Come on up here, buddy. Now, you might have pushed me around in hockey, but you're going to let me push you around now, okay? All right. This word wrestle, when I read the word wrestle, we kind of, our mind goes back to that Greek-Roman wrestling, you know, where you see the old pictures and they're kind of facing off and the Olympic-type wrestling, you know? This word literally means this: a contest between two, in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor... Now, here's what happens. Come over here. When the victor... Just lay down on the floor for me. Here's how you know they have victory. You're going to have to lay right down. I'm sorry. We're not trying to be funny. I want to show you what the Bible's teaching us. Wrestling means I was able to throw him down, and literally, here's how the victor is determined. He holds him down by the throat. That's the definition of this Greek word. I looked it up. Not just throw him off course, but to hold him down by the throat. Now you can get up, buddy. Can you imagine? The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and although sometimes we do. You can be seated. Thank you. I'm done with you. I beat you. Amen? But sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we put our armor on and go to church. That's all the armor's for. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Sometimes we put our armor on. I hope we don't do that. Sometimes, guys, we put our armor on and go to a deacon's meeting. I'm thankful we've never had a knockdown dragout since I've been here. And that's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. We sometimes have our armor on for September 29th, following the evening service. You say, what's that night? That's our church business meeting. Oh, I hate church business meetings. You want to know a secret? So do I. I do too. I mean, more than hating church business meetings, you know what? I hate doing them on Sunday. But I know that that's the time when we have everybody here. Wednesday nights, we can't do it. We don't have everybody here. I think God's business on Sunday is the business of preaching the gospel and the business of sending out missionaries and the business of training in the Word of God. That's God's business on Sunday. But out of necessity, we have these meetings once in a while, a couple times a year, and sometimes we put our armor on.
Well, I'll just show them. I got a question, and boy, I'll stump the preacher that night. Go ahead. My favorite answer is, I don't know. If I don't know, I'm just going to say it. I don't know. But let's not put our armor on for those things. This is your brothers and sisters in Christ. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against something, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, when the devil is wrestling you, his main goal in your life is not just to throw you off track, but to hold you down on the floor by the throat, to get you to submit. I'm going to tell you, when you're at a disadvantage like that, most of us are going to cry uncle. It's pretty hard when your life is leaving your body and you can't breathe. And I know that this is just a spiritual illustration that the Bible gives. It's pretty hard not to say, okay, I give in. And that's where the decay starts. We need to learn how to stand. We ought to be ready for those battles. For we wrestle not against... Look at verse 12. Consider the organization of the enemy. Consider the rank and file as he moves upon us with his attack. The Bible says there's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of the darkness of this world, and there's spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil's got all the bases covered. And he's ready to fight. Are you ready to fight? Then look on verse 13. There's just a little subtle difference between verse 11... in verse 13. In verse 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want you to notice the first phrase, wherefore, take unto you. Take unto you. You know what kind of army this is? It's a volunteer army. God has not drafted very many over the years. He drafted the Apostle Paul. Stopped him right on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to him out of that cloud. And Paul wisely said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He surrendered right there. But normally he just pleads with us with his Holy Spirit. And he asks us to enlist in this fight. And Paul says, here's what your answer should be. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Not only do I want to enlist you into the fight, I want you to understand it is for your benefit. It's that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But the Bible says here in verse 13 that we may be able to withstand. You see the subtle difference? The word stand means, again, to be steadfast and unmovable. It is the opposite of folly. It is to be rooted and grounded. The word withstand means to resist, to set oneself against, to oppose. Now listen, Baptist history, we are not part of the Protestant Reformation. Never were. You can read history throughout. You will not see the Wesley brothers were. They're Methodists and the Presbyterians, John Knox and such. And they were part of the Protestant Reformation. Baptists were never part of that. There was always a group of believers that stayed away from Rome, and they stayed away from the Protestant Reformation. And you can trace our lineage right down through there. That's the Baptist church today. They were not Protestants. But you know what? The unfortunate thing is that most Protestants are not Protestants anymore either. The word Protestant came from the name that they were protesters. They protested the Church of Rome. They protested against sin. They wouldn't fall for the Mass, and they wouldn't fall for the heresies of the Roman Catholic Church. And so they protested, and they got labeled as the Protestants. I have to ask today, what are they protesting? There's not much protesting going on anymore. What are they withstanding? I'd like to share with you a letter today. I printed it. I know I got it. Some of you might know Pastor Paul Gibbish. Pastor Gibbish is up in Gravenhurst, Ontario. Wow, I must have dropped it. Anyway, I'll share with you the context of the letter. There was a new brewery coming to town. And this brewery was coming to Gravenhurst, and it was known that they were going to build this new brewery. It was going to create 600 jobs. It was going to do so many great things for the community. But they actually asked the business owners in the area, is it okay? There's going to be a variance to the ground, and we need your permission. And so he wrote a letter, three pages, And actually took it to the newspaper and printed it because they thought he was crazy. And he says, I object to the brewery on three things. One was because of my convictions. And he said, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And he gave several scriptures against the use of alcohol. And then he says, I reject it also because of compassion. Do you know how many people in this community? And he figured, he went and studied the stats. How many people in this community have died because of alcohol poisoning? Have died because of liver disease due to alcohol? Have died because of drunk drivers? So I reject it because of compassion. He wrote this entire letter. It was very kind and very well done. And then he sent a picture. The Presbyterian church that's right beside the brewery put up a big sign that said, "Welcome to the brewery. We are both in the business of spirits." There's not much protesting going on anymore, is there? Isn't that sad? We're both in the business of spirits. Boy, I think whoever wrote it must have thought they were funny. But they missed the whole point. You say, how does that happen? Because somebody took their armor off for a little bit. Somebody didn't withstand. Somebody didn't stand. Somebody said, I'm not going to oppose anything. Oh, we need to take a stand for right. And you can't do it in your own strength. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. That not only can you stand, but verse 13 says, that we might withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Listen, Christian, in the next couple messages, we're going to talk more about the actual warfare, the defenses, and also the weapons. But listen, if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, if you're not acting in the power of His might, you're going to fall every time. You're going to try to succeed. You're going to try to forge forward. But listen, friend, you're going to fail without Jesus Christ. To whom much is given, much is required. And God desires to work in your life. We've been looking at in our teen class that we are His workmanship, created in His image. God desires for us. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. God desires to work in your life. But He asks you to surrender. And when you surrender to Him, He'll start putting His armor on you. And you'll take that stand that you need to stand in this evil day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we pray that You'd help us with it. Please speak to our hearts through the next couple of messages. Father, I pray that You'd help us to be aware of the battle cry today, that we are to put on our armor. And Father, there is an adversary, there is a devil. Help us to be acutely aware of the danger that exists when we let down our guard. Lord, may we be faithful to You as You have always been faithful to us. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand at our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Is there one here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I have on the helmet of salvation. I've never in my life asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to be my Savior. I've never repented. I've never turned from all my ways and trusted His way. Does one say, if I were to die today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Heaven or hell, I just don't know. And Pastor, would you pray for me? I promise I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Christians are praying for you right now. Would you just slip up your hand? Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip up your hand this morning? Is there one? Could I encourage each Christian to do this? Would you pray that we would never forget that we're in a battle? That we would never forget that there's an adversary. The devil is seeking right now whom he may devour. Somebody's going to walk out of this room today and have an issue come up in their life, and the devil's going to try to snatch the seed right out of their heart. Would you pray for one another? I'll be quiet and let you have a moment.